Welcome to the deep dive. Our mission is pretty simple. We take these huge stacks of research. Today, it's data from SAMHSE, NIAID, and the CDC. And we boil it all down to what you actually need to know. And today, we are digging into youth substance abuse to really find the national trends and, well, the crisis points that are hitting American teens right now.
Right.
We're not going to ease into this one. Let's just start with the most important number we found. It's our baseline. Nearly 1 in 7 teenagers, so we're talking ages 12 to 17, reported abusing an illicit substance in just the last month.
Yeah, that 1 in 7 number, it really sets the stage. But what the sources all seem to highlight is that this isn't just a snapshot in time, it's a progression.
A progression?
Exactly. The early involvement, it's incredibly predictive. There's this really powerful correlation between using substances early and then having much more severe problems later on. You especially see this as kids hit that 18 to 25 age bracket.
Okay, so let's unpack that progression then, because the numbers really do balloon as they get toward the end of high school.
They absolutely do.
By the time you're looking at a 12th grader, the sources say it's about 37%. So more than 1 out of every 3 have misused a drug at least once.
That's a huge exposure rate before they even get a diploma.
It really is. So let's start with the one everyone knows, the one that's by far the most common, alcohol.
Alcohol is just, it's everywhere. The data shows nearly half of all teens, about 48.7%, have abused alcohol by the time they're in 12th grade.
Almost half.
And if you want to talk about acute risk, I mean, the number is staggering. Over 1 million 12 to 17-year-olds said they engaged in binge drinking in just the last month. That sheer volume is the backdrop for everything else.
It is a shocking volume. And that number makes it feel like alcohol has to be the dominant disorder. Mm-hmm. But this is where the data gives us something, well, something really critical.
Mm-hmm.
When you stop looking at who just uses a substance and start looking at who meets the criteria for a diagnosable disorder, you know, alcohol use disorder versus illicit drug use disorder, the story flips.
It completely turns on its head.
Even though alcohol is everywhere, teens aged 12 to 17 are nearly 2.5 times more likely to have an illicit drug use disorder. That's about 1.8 million kids compared to roughly 750,000 for alcohol use disorder.
And that 2.4 multiplier, that is the real insight here. It tells you something really important.
Which is?
Well, it suggests that while a lot of teens might experiment with alcohol, the ones who are seeking out illicit substances are, well, maybe they're more prone to addiction to begin with, or maybe the drugs they're using are just that much more addictive for a developing brain. The real severity problem is in that illicit drug category.
Volume versus severity. That's a great way to put it. And if we drill down into what's driving that high illicit drug number, it's overwhelmingly marijuana.
No question.
The sources say of all the teens who used any illicit drug last month, a massive 84% of them use marijuana.
Let's stick with marijuana for a second, because how they're using it is creating these new behaviors we just haven't seen before, especially with the older kids.
Right. So for 12th graders, it's about 1 in 3 who've ever tried it. And the daily use is pretty high. About 5% say they use it every single day.
But the how is the story. The method of consumption.
Yeah.
Of the 12th graders who used marijuana last year, a huge 68% of them did it by vaping.
Vaping. It's the new norm.
It's a total technological shift. This changes everything. The dosage, how fast it hits you, the social setting. It's not the same thing at all.
It also seems to have completely replaced traditional cigarettes. The data shows 12th graders are almost 2.5 times more likely to have used marijuana than to have ever smoked a cigarette.
Which just shows you how fast one substance can totally displace another in youth culture.
It's not just the older kids, though. There's some volatility with the younger ones, too, right? 8th graders?
Oh, absolutely. The data shows that overall drug use shot up 30% among 8th graders just between 2016 and 2020. That was a serious jump.
But not for everything.
Exactly. For certain drugs, the trend is the complete opposite. 8th graders today are almost 50% less likely to have tried amphetamines than the kids who were in 8th grade back in 2020.
So the landscape is just constantly shifting.
It's incredibly fluid. Tastes change, or maybe access changes. It's hopeful to see that drop in amphetamine use, but it also looks like those preferences just shift toward prescription misuse as they get older.
Which brings us back to the high school seniors. The misuse of things like Adderall and Ritalin is way higher than street drugs. For past year use, Adderall is at 2.5%, Ritalin is about 1.1%.
And just to give you some context for that, the number of 12 to 17-year-olds using powder cocaine in the last year was only 0.2%.
Wow.
The takeaway for you is that for these kids, the danger isn't starting on a street corner. It's often starting with a pill that was legally prescribed and just diverted from a family member or a friend.
So now we need to transition from the drugs of volume to the drugs of lethality. We have to talk about the opioid crisis.
Yeah. This is where the numbers stop being about disorders and start being about mortality.
In 2023, 5,926 Americans aged 15 to 24 died from an illicit drug overdose.
It's just a devastating cost.
And looking back, the increase has been just relentless.
Yeah.
The rate of opioid overdose deaths in that 15 to 24 age group went up 700% between 1999 and 2022.
That 700%, that's the long, slow burn of the crisis over two decades. But the fentanyl data that shows the moment the slow burn became a massive explosion, fentanyl was the accelerator.
We really need to pause on that for a second. The speed of that shift is, it's a public health emergency.
It absolutely is. The one data point that defines this whole crisis for this generation is the role of fentanyl in those overdose deaths.
Okay.
In 2018, it was involved in just 2.7% of overdose deaths for 15 to 24-year-olds, just a tiny fraction.
Yeah, now.
By 2023, it was involved in 81%.
81.
In just 5 years, it became the single devastating cause of death for this age group.
And this connects to a really troubling risk factor the sources found. We talk about prescription misuse, but this is about legitimate use.
Right.
High school students who are given prescription opioids for a good reason, a sports injury, wisdom teeth, they are 33% more likely to misuse opioids after high school.
This is a risk that's embedded right into our medical system. This isn't about illegal drugs. It's about necessary medical care creating a vulnerability.
How does that happen?
Well, that first exposure, it normalizes the drug. It takes away the stigma, which can make misuse later on feel less risky, less dangerous.
So we've covered the what and the how. Let's talk about the where. Because the state-level data really shows this is not a uniform crisis. The risk is completely different depending on where you live.
It's profoundly different. If you're looking for the extremes, Utah is a great place to start. They have the lowest illicit drug use for teens in the last month, down at about 4.5%.
And that's true for alcohol as well, right?
It is. Alcohol use there is only about 3%, which makes the average Utah teen nearly 60% less likely to drink than the average American teen. It really shows how much culture can suppress these trends.
Okay, so that's the low point. What's the high end?
New Mexico. They lead the country for monthly illicit drug use among teens at over 11%. Maine and Vermont are right behind, both hovering around 10%.
Are there any broader regional trends?
There are. The data seems to show that teens living in the South are generally the least likely to have abused drugs in the last month. But then you have these outliers.
Like West Virginia.
Exactly. West Virginia is a fascinating case of that severity disparity we talked about. Teens, there are 255% more likely to have an illicit drug use disorder than an alcohol use disorder.
So their crisis isn't about alcohol at all. It's about hard drugs.
It's completely disproportionate. Right. And then you have New Mexico, which is high risk for both. It suggests there's something going on there that makes the whole youth population vulnerable across every category.
We have covered a ton of data here, but the main takeaways feel really clear.
I think so.
First, alcohol and marijuana are just dominant in terms of volume. Second, the way kids consume has totally changed, with vaping now the primary method for marijuana. And third, the fentanyl crisis is an accelerated, incredibly lethal emergency.
And the common thread through all of it is the predictive power of early behavior, that first involvement.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it's drinking, vaping, or misusing a prescription, it is so strongly correlated with serious problems down the line. That's the window where intervention really counts.
That is the enduring truth here. So we'll leave you with a final thought, building on that 33% risk factor we mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
If legitimate medical use of opioids in high school creates such a high vulnerability for later misuse, how might changing the way we manage pain for teenagers, in everything from dentistry to orthopedics, how might that actually influence the national addiction and overdose rates over the next decade? We'll see you next time on The Deep Dive.